Time of year, right? Where everybody starts getting stressed out about the money you gotta spend, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm serious though. I actually spoke with someone. I should probably get
you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I have to grab it, but rock star days are over, right? That's not true. I was never in a rock band. Okay. So we're going to start off with our announcements, but because I come up here and I get all excited when I see you, I have to calm down, and only my father can do that, okay? So let's start off with prayer. Well, Father God, you are awesome. Just every Sunday, I can't believe it, every Sunday, all that leads up to this special time, we get to come together and be family. Lord, would you just help us today? I know you help us, but would you help us not get in the way of your helping? God, we want you to be praised and honored. Don't let us mess it up. Would you convict us right now? Would you help us just examine our hearts during this time of announcements, a good time to do so, that we would confess to you, God, that we would repent, and that we would praise you because of your wonderful mercy. Thank you, God. Bless our announcements, and bless Pastor Thaddeus as he prepares his heart to be used of you. Thank you for the choir, Lord, that led us in a wonderful period of reflection and praise. And bless the worship team. Bless those who are going to present special music. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so our favorite time of Sunday, right? Announcements.
Preach it.
That's right. That's right. You know, somebody can get saved during announcements. You better be careful. We started talking about winter close downs. Anyways, no Wednesday evening events. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Okay? So if you come on Wednesday, there may not be anyone here to greet you. Okay? Because we're hanging out, I guess. We're having a good time with our families, right? You'll be here. Scott will be here to tell everybody else that they shouldn't be. Okay. Christmas Eve service tomorrow. This is going to be awesome. Got a chance to get a sneak peek at that in the agenda with Pastor Thaddeus. And so it's tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. Come celebrate the birth of our King. Gift for Christ offering this Sunday is the first day of that special offering. Okay. If you're not entirely sure what that is, please get a hold of the deacons or of Pastor Thaddeus and have a conversation, because there's some awesome plans. We want to glorify God with that offering. We want people to be reached and for his name to be magnified, okay? So if you got questions about what that is, but today is the first day, and the last day of that special offering would be December 30th. Areas that we're looking at are debit, retirement, game changers or other will be determined by the amount collected. So we could tell you the overall view and goals, but specifics will come afterwards. But like I said, talk to leadership, please. Blessing bags, okay? The kids were able to stuff 59 blessing bags with your generous donations. So thank you for the donations, okay? They were all so excited to be doing something for others. The teamwork, the love, the laughter, the giving spirit, the generous hearts they all demonstrated today was such a blessing. And I know God will greatly bless those who receive the bags. We have the street. All righty. And it says here, good job, moms and dads. I'm going to add grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, right? Stepmoms and stepdads, thank you. The blessing bags will be delivered this week. Thank you for your donations, okay? So awesome. And I love that piece about kids getting involved and learning to contribute, right? Because that's what this is all about, to look more and more like our Savior who gave it all for us, and we want to be like Christ, okay? Another announcement about church closing. We've gone through that a few times, so go ahead and read that and refresh yourself. Food pantry, help others in need. See Krista or Sister Lynn. And then men's prayer breakfast, that's actually canceled this week, and another Merry Christmas to you, okay? I'd like to take a little moment here. We got a special announcement, okay? Sister Rachel, look, that's right, help her out. Can you come up here and give me a hug, please? I just want a hug. She's like, what? No, come on up here, please. I want to talk to you about something. I've been hearing some rumors, and we have to deal with it. She's like, what? I don't know if you guys knew. I don't know if you heard the same rumors I heard, but I heard it's Sister Rachel's birthday coming up. Is that right? I don't know. She's like, what is going on? What is going on? What is he saying? I just wanted my hug. I didn't actually get it today. I don't know if I...
Well, you were always talking with someone.
I talk too much. Here, okay. Can I just come close to me? Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. So, is your birthday's coming up? Is that right?
What?
Is your birthday's coming up? Your birthday?
Yeah, next Sunday.
Next Sunday. That's right. And you'll be 93. Is that right?
Right.
That's right. Okay. And I just wanted to come and say to you in front of everybody, we had to confirm the rumor. We don't like gossip in church. We had to confirm the rumor, but. Also, I've heard also that you often call many of the members on their birthday. Is that right? That's right. Okay. And you give hugs. You were the greeter team before we had a greeting team. And so we just wanted to say thank you. And in a manner of doing that, I'd like us to sing happy birthday to you. Is that okay?
If
we want to. Okay. Do you want to sing happy birthday? That's right. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Rachel. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You may... Awesome. Thank you so much for honoring Sister Rachel with us. That's awesome. More good news, okay? Cookies, I think, maybe some cake. After service in the Welcome Center, the fellowship lobby there. So go back there, please, in the service and celebrate the birthday of our beloved sister, okay? All right. Good, good. Good. So before we close out, I have a special announcement from Pastor Thaddeus. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We have a church member who's got some health issues, and along with those health issues, some very special needs. And so the way that we would like to try to help out is if you could, Joel Ritzma is not here today, I don't believe. So you can see Ray Berry. Ray is the king back there with the big hat. So, yeah. So you can see Ray Berry. So here's what this is for. This is a benevolent help. We have an individual in our church that had an implant put into their arm, and it has become very infected. And there are limb loss concerns and life concerns involved. They need to be able to get to the Mayo Clinic and. In getting to the Mayo Clinic, they need to have, obviously, to travel there, stay there, get treated, because they can't be treated locally and receive the help that they need. So if you would like to contribute to that, then you can see Ray. Ray will make sure it gets into the benevolent fund, and we're going to use that benevolent monies to help Ronnie Chapman out and hopefully get Ronnie to the Mayo Clinic as quickly as possible, so that he can receive the help that he needs. And it's a very serious thing. So if you would like to help out with that, you can see Ray Berry drop the money there, and we can help out benevolent with that. So we appreciate your help in that.
Special announcement regarding a dear brother in Christ. We need help from those who have skilled labor in construction, plumbing, and constructing a bathroom. So we're hoping to finish a bathroom for a brother who's struggling with some health issues. And so it's the same brother. So if you could just, one of the things we'll be doing is getting together January 12th, meeting at the church, and leaving here at 8:30 a.m. to go and finish that bathroom for them so that they can maintain proper hygiene, okay? Also, the sign-up sheet for that is on the Welcome Center, I don't know what to call that, desk, island, whatever it is, okay? So, yeah, there's a sign-up sheet there. It'll say volunteer sign-up, and if you look, unfortunately, I put in the tiniest font possible. It has his name there. So, yeah, probably we don't want any, do we want his name out there?
Ronnie Chapman.
Okay, great. All right, so, yeah, so if you're looking to contribute in that way with skilled labor, we'd really appreciate that. January 12th, leaving here at the church, leaving here at 8:30 a.m., okay? All right, and the greeting for today, after I pray, what I'd encourage you to do is I want you to pray for one another, okay? So we talk a lot about God's word, what it means for our lives, and then also encouraging each other with words from the scriptures, but also praying for one another. And I would love for you all to just pick out somebody, even in your family, and ask them, how can I pray? And then pray for them. Please keep it brief because we're going to start our offering right after that, and then we're going to jump into service. So you're probably going to have about 30 seconds, just a warning, okay? But develop this habit, okay? Because this is really a big part of coming together, is encouraging each other, but also praying for one another. As you know, there are many needs, okay? All right, Father God, thank you so much for this time of fellowship we get to have. Would you please, please open up our hearts to your word today? Would you please urge us through the scriptures and through the exhortation and urging that's going to come from Pastor Thaddeus to submit ourselves to you, that you would work in us to change our desires from things that lust and love this world to loving you and so forth, showing in our lives as we demonstrate love for you and love for one another. God, I pray for our families as we go into this holiday season. This truly is a stressful time for many and a lonely time for others. I pray that you will just remind us of the desperate need that we had for you to bring us near. We couldn't come to ourselves, God, because we were lost in sin, hating one another and being hated, being captive to the sinful lusts of our heart and our minds, of our bodies. And you freed us from that, God, by sending the Lord Jesus, your Son, in this beautiful mystery of a triune God, but perfectly one, that we in some fashion similar to you, because of your work in us and through us, we also might one day be perfectly united in oneness as well with each other. God, I pray specifically as that day has not come yet, but we are glorified with you and in you, that we would still, because of the work of your Spirit in us and because of your scriptures and the exhortation that comes forth, that we would begin to look more and more like you, that we would become more and more united, that we would indeed on earth would become one as far as possible for us, that the world of onlookers might see that you indeed are among us. So God, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise because we can't do anything without you. And when you do something, it's glorious, it's awesome, and we want you to get the credit for that. So thank you for including us in your plan, Lord. And as Pastor Thaddeus says, thank you, you the great author, for inserting yourself into the book, into the story. So God, open our hearts again and prepare us for worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, pray for your neighbor, please. Pray for your neighbor. Let me just pray with you.
So much for Carl and what he's already accomplished in the church, Father, and I just pray blessings on him and his life and his family. And Father, I just pray for the services today that your Spirit would be in this place and his blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful." Wait a minute. Hold on. First, the ushers are going to come and take up the offering.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day you give us, Lord. We thank you that everybody could be here today. We pray that you be with the folks that may be at home still that cannot make it. We thank you for so much for the ultimate gift to Jesus Christ, and we pray that you be with Pastor Thaddy. Give us the message. Help us to apply it to our lives each and every day. We ask that you bless this offering. Amen.
All right, stand close.
Hallelujah, He alone is worthy.
Oh, sing hallelujah. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. You may be seated.
Far from the hills of Judea, three kings were observing miraculous events in the heavens. Their education and wisdom revealed things that others may have looked at, but only these wise men could see. God's miraculous intervention was on display in the evening sky. A star of unknown brilliance and origin was beckoning them to travel in search of the King of all kings. The journey would be long and arduous. The task at times would seem insurmountable. But the complexity of the task was shrouded in the simplicity of the command. That call remains the same for the wise who still seek him today. Follow the light. Seeking what's right, listening for angel songs in the night. Where will this lead me?
Follow.
How can I be free?
Follow.
Yeah, just follow. Just follow the light.
The light shines. What God said,
and
follow.
Listen, Favor with God, and you have been chosen to give birth to God's Son. Mary said, "How can this be? I have no husband." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall conceive and bear a son. His name shall be called Jesus." Mary, the servant of God, said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Later, as Elizabeth confirmed the word was with her, Mary's heart burst with praise.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Joseph realized, I will be the earthly father of God's Son.
Thank you, Lord, for choosing me to be the earthly father of God's Son. He shall be Emmanuel.
Thank you.
shepherds gathered at the lowly stable, they must have joined together as a mighty chorus to sing praise to this holy child.
Thank you, choir. What our choir did for us this morning is tell us what happened and what was going on. And as we celebrate Christmas, we're really just celebrating the birth of Christ, but there's a reason behind it. And it was so Jesus could receive all the glory. Now, as the choir sang, now I'm not going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you the why it happened. And how about our baby here and Mary and Joseph? Thank you, Jackie and Jorge. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And as the children head out, let's take our Bibles and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3. Because the whole idea of Jesus coming to the earth begins actually in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. And as you're turning in your Bibles there, at Sunday school, there was a grandmother who was speaking to her 10-year-old granddaughter. And the grandmother was quite impressed with her grandchild as she was discussing the events that took place around Christmas. And her 10-year-old granddaughter knew everything. But then her granddaughter stopped and said, "Grandma, I've got a question for you." And the grandma said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, which virgin was the mother of Jesus?" The grandma was a little confused and said, "What do you mean, which virgin?" And the little child said, "Well, was it the Virgin Mary or the King James Virgin?" Okay, that was bad. At Sunday school, the younger children were drawing pictures that illustrated biblical stories, and they were trying to draw a picture that summed up Jesus and his birth. So The teacher went around, and there were pictures of the manger scene, wise men, angels. And the teacher came across this one picture of an airplane. And the teacher said to the student, why an airplane? And the teacher said, or the student said, well, this depicts the flight to Egypt. And the teacher said, oh, that's an interesting play on words. That's really good. Can you explain it to me? And the child said, well, here in the back of the plane, we have Mary and Jesus, and across the aisle, Joseph. And then if you notice at the front of the plane, there's Pontius, because he's the pilot. All right. This morning, we are looking at the difference between the pre-incarnate Jesus. You say, what does pre-incarnate mean? It means Jesus who came to earth before he was born of the Virgin Mary. And we have spent the last several weeks looking at different times in the Old Testament when Jesus came to earth. Because here's what we have to understand about Jesus. He is the everlasting God. He has no beginning and no end. He is equal part of the Godhead. So, what's the difference between the Jesus who appeared and wrestled with Jacob, walked through the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stopped the mouths of the lion in Daniel's lion's den? What's the difference between that form of Jesus and the form of Jesus who was born of a virgin? Let me just start here. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 15. It says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." See, way back at the beginning of the scriptures, the very first account of humanity, the first thing that is recorded that Adam and Eve did is they sinned. And when they sinned, God makes this statement to them that the seed of the woman, that means that she would have a child, and specifically a male child, and that through her, and it wouldn't be her immediate offspring, but she didn't know when that offspring would be, Christ would, or there would be a Christ, the word Christ means anointed one, who would take away the sin that Adam and Eve had brought into the world. That's what this passage is teaching us. So, the coming of Jesus is based on the first prophecy given to Adam and Eve after they sinned. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it tells us this, "And the Word..." And in verse 1, we're told, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh," was made flesh, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, when we get saved, we all become children of God, but there's only one who is a direct descendant of God. That's what the word begotten in the King James means. That he is directly from God. And that's the Word who became flesh and lived among humanity. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, it describes Jesus this way, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." In 1 Peter 2:24, it describes him this way, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this: For he, that's God the Father, has made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the first point in your bulletin here, number one, the pre-incarnate Jesus. So all the views of Jesus we saw from the Old Testament, all the pre-incarnate Jesus appeared fully mature. The best example of this is in Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob saw a man and began to wrestle him. Jesus there didn't show up as a baby and then grow up into a man. He just appeared as a man, right? Jacob would have big problems if he sees a baby and starts wrestling the baby, right? Okay, because Jesus, when he showed up in the Old Testament, he appeared fully mature. In Hebrews 7, we saw that the depiction of Jesus, Melchizedek, a king and a priest, that in verse 3, he's without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but was made like unto the Son of God. See, when Jesus appeared in the Old Testament, he appeared as a full adult, fully grown. But when we talk about the virgin-born Jesus, and this is really important doctrine, teaching. We all need to understand this. This is vital to our faith. If we don't understand this, we don't believe in the right Jesus. The virgin-born Jesus developed from conception. Now, this conception was by the Holy Ghost. Mary was a virgin even after she gave birth to Jesus. That's really important to understand. Okay? It's not a miraculous thing for a virgin to get pregnant. She just loses her virginity in the process. But for someone to be pregnant and still be a virgin, that is a miracle. Because Mary did not have a relationship, physical relationship with a man. She was truly a virgin. What was conceived in her was by the Holy Ghost. It was a direct act of God. So here's how this took place. The virgin-born Jesus developed from conception to an embryo, to an infant, to a child, to a teen, to an adult. In Isaiah 7:14, it tells us, Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. See, a virgin would not just get pregnant. She would conceive a child and still be a virgin. That's essential to our doctrine. Here's why this is essential to our doctrine. Because way back in Genesis 3, it was that the seed of a woman would come and take care of the seed of the serpent through victory on the cross. Here's the reason why. If you go to the hen house and there's blood in the egg, that means the rooster had visited the hen house. Everybody with me? Okay? And you don't want that, right? I don't, maybe some people like that. Nah, I don't want blood in my eggs, okay? Because the scripture tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. Emil Dahan, he was a preacher. He wrote a lot of Christian books. He also was a medical doctor. And he wrote this about the way that Jesus was conceived. If he had human father, then his very nature would have been controlled by humanity. He did not have a human father. God was the father. Therefore, his nature was God. But he had a human mother, and so his flesh was man. And his nature is God. all of us have a human father and mother. So you know what we get? We get the human nature. But Jesus was different. The virgin birth teaches us that he had a different nature. Now think about this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, talking about Jesus, it says, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then in Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Even though his nature was given to him by his father, because he had a human body, God had to grow in favor with God. What does that mean? He had to learn and develop a relationship with the Father. You're looking at me like, oh my goodness, that doesn't make any sense. No, this is the nature of why the virgin birth is so important. See, God the Almighty was a baby. He had to learn how to walk, how to talk. He had to learn the alphabet. He had to learn how to read and to write. And as he did and he read the scripture, he learned who he was. The Almighty God squeezed into an embryo. The creator of all grew in Mary's womb. The infinite became an infant. The author climbed into his book. The living God took on our humble humanity. The Word became flesh. The untouchable God was touched with humanity. The unseen was finally seen. The omnipresent inhabited a singular space. The omniscient limited himself by needing to grow and learn. The immortal embraced mortality. That's what the virgin birth does for us. It's so different than when he came before that. Secondly, the pre-incarnate Jesus, I'm going to move faster, don't worry. The pre-incarnate Jesus could not be tempted. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." Okay, the pre-incarnate Jesus was not tempted to do evil. He came for a purpose, to work with his people, to help his people. He could not be tempted with evil. But the virgin-born Jesus could be tempted. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." See, if Jesus only came fully mature and didn't come through the seed of the woman, he could never have been tempted like we are tempted. And he couldn't have lived perfectly in the face of that temptation. This is a big deal, that he was tempted like we are. Because you know what that gives us hope? He knows what it's like to say no. And he can give you and he can give to me the power to say no to our temptations. The third thing that we see in the pre-incarnate Jesus, he could not die. The Jesus that came in the Old Testament, he could not die. in that form, coming that way, it was impossible to kill him. In fact, in Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed all the earth and the world, you are God from everlasting to everlasting." See, when Jesus, who is the creative part of the Godhead, the creator, he was also everlasting to everlasting. He could not die until he took on human form through the virgin birth. The virgin-born Jesus could die. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death." He had to become through a virgin, and he had to be born physically as a human so that he could take on death. Before that, he couldn't. And he didn't just take on death. It says here, "And he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." This might be the most miraculous part of God, that he would choose to take on humanity so he could die instead of us. None of us here have to face eternal consequence for our sin. Jesus paid it all. Jesus took the consequence for sin when he became human and died for us. The pre-incarnate Jesus couldn't do that, but the virgin-born Jesus, he did that. So then, the last point. The pre-incarnate Jesus could not be sacrificed or be the sacrifice for our sin. He couldn't just come fully mature and die for our sin. In Hebrews 10, verse 8, it says this, "And when he said, 'Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin,' you would not," you didn't even have pleasure in them, "which are offered by the law." You see, until Jesus came born of the virgin, there was the law. And the law only provided sacrifice that temporarily appeased but never truly pleased God the Father. And then in verse 9 in Hebrews 10, it says, "Then he said, 'Lo, I come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first so that he may establish the second." So any law, any sacrifice done before the coming of Jesus through his virgin birth, that sacrifice was no good. So the virgin-born Jesus was the only sacrifice for sin. In Hebrews 10:9, the very next verse from what we had just read, Hebrews 10:10, it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So it had to be a body that could die. It had to be a body that could be a sacrifice. And so the virgin-born Jesus, in that capacity, that's the only way we could ever receive forgiveness for sin. The awesome mystery of Christmas is not that Jesus came into being. Okay? He's always been. It is that he chose the being of humanity over the power and authority of the Godhead. He willingly became human. He deliberately came to die. He was born to die so that man might live. I put in your bulletins there a whole list from 1996 to 2017 of the most popular gifts. I mean, some of these you can read through and you'd be like, "Yeah, I remember when that happened." You know, like 2004, the iPod Mini. I remember when that came out, you know. And the Nintendo Wii in 2006. And how many people went out and bought a Wii, and then like 3 years later, nobody used the Wii anymore. They're all using something else, right? Last year, it was the fidget spinner, right? That was a craze. People were way overspending for this piece of junk. You know, there's one gift that's timeless. One gift, the value of which grows. Because the more I know about it, the greater it becomes to me. And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. And as you celebrate Christmas, it's great to think about all the story about it's miraculous how he came to earth, the announcement of angels, the wise men coming, and just all the things that were taking place. But I want you to think about the fact that God, the almighty, invisible, immortal God, took on human flesh so that he could die for us. In Luke 2:10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The scriptures tell us, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did to us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord." 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Celebrate this season knowing that you have the gift that brings eternal life. And don't just keep that gift to yourself. Share it. Share it with your children before they open any other gift and remind them about the greatest gift. Share them when you're talking to someone and you're getting your last-minute Christmas shopping done. How many of last-minute Christmas shopping you're doing today? How many of you are waiting till tomorrow? How many of you are waiting until Tuesday morning? Yeah, yeah. But you know what? There's one great gift that's been given. And if you've never received that gift, receive Jesus today. He's the ever-existent. He always has been. He always will be. But for 33 and a half years, he lived right here, just like we do. And he experienced all the hardships of life. I mean, friends betrayed him. His own brothers didn't believe in him. His mom and dad yelled at him. And he was perfect. Some of you kids are like, "Man, my mom and dad yelled at me and I didn't do anything wrong." Yeah, it happened to Jesus too. He was tempted in all points, every single way that we are. Yet he was without sin. So you know what we say to him? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for what you have done in your awesome plan. You are Father, Son, and Spirit, inseparable. But yet, you chose to separate and to become human. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that as the author of my salvation, that you chose to insert yourself into the story of my life by taking on human flesh, living, dying, and rising again from the dead. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus, I pray that right now they would consider their need to trust in Jesus and receive that gift. with our heads bowed and eyes closed.